Here we go, fellow travelers. It's episode 306 of the RV Podcast.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 306. We are going to talk about, well, what's been in the news this week. The national news media has been filled with stories claiming that campgrounds are bursting at the seams across the country as people are taking up camping and RVing because they're afraid to do traditional vacations or, you know, stay in hotels, fly airplanes, deal with crowds in amusement parks. Is that true? Well, we're going to find out. And I can tell you this much as we start to get into it. You can believe it. But there are also some options to dealing with the crowds and making sure you always find a place. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. This week, it is episode 306 of the RV Podcast. And we are going to hear a little bit later on from real campers who tell us whether those gloom and doom stories are true. But you know, it's summertime and campgrounds are always a bit crowded, especially on weekends, especially on holidays. And the media, which has jumped all over this RV story like crazy, the boom in RV sales, it's all new to them. It's not new to us. And we know that it's hard to get a spot in the summertime. But I got to say, that said, it is way worse this year as well. And we're going to talk about the crowds. We're going to talk about how to deal with them. We're going to talk to some industry experts and lots of real RVers as well coming up in this episode. We also have lots of RV comments and questions that we'll talk about. We've got RV news of the week. And as always, a great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, if this was a normal year, I wonder how many times we all say that.
If this were a normal year, we'd be at Chautauqua.
Yes, we would be at Lake Chautauqua on Lake Erie, teaching doing a couple of lectures in their lecture series
and having a blast.
And we were going to hold an open house in the RV on Lake Erie. That would have been fun, a little gathering there. But
yeah, looking forward to having, you know, meeting new people and having fun and the big entertainment groups that they used to have on the weekends. Canceled. I mean, I think last year our trip there, that was the most fun I'd had and I can't tell you how long.
Yeah, so I think it was because of a surprise. We didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were going to get and we were totally delighted.
If you go to our YouTube channel, RV Lifestyle, just look up Lakeside, Ohio, and you'll find what we're talking about. But it's just a great place, great campground, nice place to hang out. And then after that, we were headed west, and we were going to eventually make our way across the Canadian Rockies, the U.S. Rockies, down the Pacific Northwest coast, down into California, ending up there the first week of October. All that's gone, too.
Finally, we were going to get out west.
Yes, and we were going to take the whole summer and fall.
Yep.
Yeah,
maybe Bo's prayers were answered. Bo, our dog, he's not the world's greatest RV traveler.
But if this was a normal year.
Yeah, but he would have liked it. He would have new scents and places and things to do.
And here we are. You know, we also almost always go to the Hershey RV show. That's canceled. Elkhart
Open House. Get some Hershey
chocolate.
I look forward to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I do too. Last year we had, I had a chocolate martini, a Hershey's martini.
And I had some chocolate cake there. I've never had such a good dessert.
Yeah. Anyway, that's canceled. And we were then going to do the Elkhart Open House, which is always fun.
Always fun.
In
always,
Elkhart, Indiana.
All the new things you see and nice people.
Yeah, canceled. And the California RV show, the first weekend of October it started, it's usually canceled. So the big question is what will happen with... let's see, the next one on the horizon. There's lots of smaller ones. They've all canceled for the rest of the year. But the biggest one that has not yet been canceled is Tampa, Florida, which is coming up. I think it's scheduled to go January 13th through the 17th of 2021. But
I'm starting to think now that might happen.
You think so?
I was all negative. But I'm thinking things are going to change a lot.
I don't know. How long can it last? And, you know, it's so anyway, that's our hope. But I can't believe how busy we've been nevertheless.
We're always busy. But it's been nice. We're home because, like I said last week, we like to leave the campsites for families and people with young kids, even though we don't know what school is going to look like. We like to leave it to those who summer is traditionally the only time that they can travel.
Well, we're going to get a pretty good report in a little bit on what it's like out there. And we'll talk about that in the interview of the week. But I'm amazed how busy we're based at our Sticks and Bricks in Michigan. We did get a camp out last week. And let's see. We did not do our Ask Us Anything on YouTube Sunday. We just took it off.
Took a week.
We needed a little downtime, and we took it off.
Yeah, we ran around and ran some errands. We'll be back Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah, I missed it.
And I've got lots of stuff for our new RV that I'm still hooking up. This week, I'm concentrating on a radio system.
Okay, I bought a Swiffer.
You bought a new Swiffer?
Because I've got the storage garage, so I can have that.
Long-handled Swiffer?
I can put the long handle in there, so I don't have to crawl around on my hands and knees to clean the floor.
And then I'm also, besides the new radio system, which I'm really excited about this, we also have a really interesting internet access system that we're going to, I think, be using exclusively from now on. And I'm messing with that.
Well, that's going to be nice to have.
Yes, it is. Yeah, having good internet. I can't go anywhere without. Yeah, so we've been busy, and there's lots of RV news. It's a crazy time of year.
So you're saying we've been keeping out of trouble?
Yeah, I think we've been keeping out of trouble. Although I really do miss the mountains. The mountains.
Oh, yeah.
You know that John Muir, the father of our national park system, his saying, the mountains are calling and I must answer. That is so true. I can't believe how I'm longing for the mountains.
I can't believe how, after 3 years in a row, going to Glacier.
Not going. Yeah.
It kind of leaves a hole in your
heart.
Well,
those are the mountains that I picture when I mean, I love the Tetons. I love all the mountains. I love the mountains. We love the Adirondacks and the Appalachians and the Smoky Mountains.
We love all those. I mean, they're free. The Smoky Mountains are free, easy access to everybody, most popular park in America.
Yes, it is.
National park.
But the Rockies, that grabbed my heart. So,
yes.
Well, we're thinking. we're thinking about it. Yep. Hey, so anyway, we've got lots to talk about. Lots of videos still coming up. Thank you guys all so much for following our blog. I've spent the last 2 months really working hard on the RV lifestyle blog. And we brought in a lot of help with that. We've been working so hard.
I've been thinking about getting a little mask or something for the back of your head with two eyes and a mouth, a smiley face, because all I'm seeing is the back of your head.
Well, I'm almost there. The blog has got a whole new look, and it's doing well. We've got new content every day, good, compelling, engaging content. I'm so proud of RVLifestyle.com. If you just listen to this podcast, please go check out our blog. The blog's been around for, it'll be 10 years in March, we really have upped the ante on what we're trying to do with the blog, and it's been so much fun.
I'm thinking about putting some rocks, taping them to your seat so that you can't sit there, so you'll get up and move around.
All right. I'm
giving you grief.
You're giving me grief, but I'm doing it for the community.
You're doing it because you love doing it.
I do. All right. We also love telling you the RV news of the week.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
If you've been an RV fellow traveler for long, chances are you spent the night at a Walmart parking lot at least once. But finding a Walmart that allows RVers to sleep in their parking lot is getting harder to find. Currently, only 58% of the nation's Walmart stores allow campers to stay, compared to 78% in 2010. Spending the night in a parking lot has been super popular with many RVers over the years. They get a free, easy place to overnight when they are on a road trip and do not need a full campground experience. Typically, overnighters buy something from the Walmart and are gone first thing in the morning, so the store benefits too. But the problem is, More and more campers are not practicing basic etiquette. They are staying for more than one night. They are leaving their trash, even sometimes human waste or dirty water behind. Homeless people are also using these lots. The result is more and more Walmarts are banning the practice, often forced to do so by new zoning rules enacted by local governments. It's another example of how a bad apple can spoil the whole bunch.
That was on CNN this week. They even had a story about that. And we'll put a link to that if you look at our show notes, which is rvlifestyle.com/306 for this episode. And the news of the week, we'll put a link to that CNN story. And in fact, we'll put a link to all the stories we have here for you in RV News of the Week. You know, you mentioned bad apples spoiling the bunch. I've got one that's beyond bad. It's a rotten apple. And this is the kind of story that really makes my blood boil. Vandals at Zion National Park painted large sections of the sandstones in the northeast part of the park. And they painted them blue. And park rangers are now asking the public's help in finding out who did this. I mean, big, bold blue squares and miscellaneous shapes, some of them 3 feet by 3 feet in size, around the rock formations south of the Wildcat Trailhead in the Kolob Terrace area. The area is believed to have been painted sometime by these vandals around July 8th, and officials are not sure if they can even remove that paint. Doing so is going to be costly, and we'll put a link in the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/306. Maybe you can help them find them if you were any place around the park at that time.
Man, if we can find them, maybe we can give them a little scrub brush. Turn those kids,
toothbrush,
put a rope on them and let them dangle there and scrub.
Unbelievable. Why would somebody do that? I don't know.
Because they don't have enough to do.
Yeah, because they're rotten apples.
We've been reporting for years about families who do road schooling, and for months about the rise in RV newbies and some challenges out there because of COVID-19. So when we saw a story this week about a family that combined both, we had to share it. The Tennessee family apparently decided to cope with the new in-person school challenges COVID-19 caused by buying a large RV bus built on a Greyhound chassis, selling their possessions, and hitting the road. The family of seven plans to homeschool their five children while traveling across the country, all while self-containing as best as possible and working remotely from the road. We'll put a link to this story at rvlifestyle.com/306. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/306.
Out west, a man visiting Rocky Mountain National Park accidentally shot himself in the leg with his own gun. He had put a loaded gun into his backpack, and when he took his backpack off and put it up on a rock, he was near Emerald Lake there in Rocky Mountain National Park, the gun accidentally fired a round, went through the backpack, and the bullet lodged in his leg. Other visitors heard the shot, came over, and they helped. They provided first aid, and then a rescue crew had to take the man out of the park by ambulance to the Glacier Basin Campground, and then a helicopter had to come and fly the man to an area hospital. Now, it's legal to bring a gun into a national park, but it is illegal to shoot it unless it's, you know, for self-defense for your life. Rangers recommend if you're worried about animals, bear spray is much safer and much more effective, really, than a gun to wildlife. So, sorry the guy got shot, but just another good example. You got to be careful out there, and firearms are not necessarily the best way to protect yourself from wildlife.
I'm glad that a gun didn't go off and hit somebody else who might have been with him or something.
Yeah.
It's always scary. We end the news of the week with our update on what's open and closed. This week, we can report that two campgrounds on the beautiful Blue Ridge Highway, Linville Falls and Julian Price Campgrounds, opened for the first time this summer, last weekend. While most campgrounds across the country are open, some remain closed because of concerns about the spread of COVID-19. Some examples: New Mexico State Park campgrounds are closed, as is the Devil's Garden Campground at Arches National Park, Lost Creek Campground at Crater Lake National Park, and Mount Rainier National Park Campground, to name a few. In this unusual year of camping, where things are open and then closed and things are fluid, as always, check ahead before heading out. We'll put a link in the News of the Week section of the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/306 again. That's rvlifestyle.com/306.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes now with free shipping. That's one of the things I've been doing with our time during this kind of limited travel season that we're all in. I've been playing with our Rad Power Bikes. These bikes are built for everything. They're priced for everyone. First off, they're about half the cost of comparable bikes in the market because that retail dealer chain is cut off. They deal directly with the consumer. They ship it free to your house. Very simple to put together. And there are so many different models of Rad Power bikes. They are literally, as they say, built for everything because they have so many different models, from fat tire versions to foldable versions to the city bike cruiser style, that's what I have, to the step-through model, that's what Jennifer has. All of their different models can reach 20 miles an hour speed with zero pedaling. But what I really like about RV about Rad Power bikes when we go RVing is you can use these things by pedaling too. All their models give you the choice to ride pedal-free with the throttle, but you can also pedal this. And there are five different levels of pedal assist that you can get for a little added boost, maybe going up a big hill. You can combine pedaling and the throttle. It's just so neat. There's a number of different speeds, and they're so fun to take with you and explore. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and Rad Power Bikes makes it so easy. They ship it to you absolutely free, and it takes, even I can assemble them. And you get $75 off if you mention the name RV Lifestyle at checkout. That's a pretty good deal. $75 off. Use that coupon code RV Lifestyle and visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this question came to us by a fellow traveler named William, who saw our YouTube video tour of our new Leisure Travel Vans Wonder RV, our new Class C RV that we got back in June. And in that tour, we mentioned the importance of having a surge protector for your RV. And here's the question. He says, I heard you mention a surge protector in the video, but I am unfamiliar with such a device on an RV. What does it do, and why do I need one, and how do you know if something is wrong? Good questions, William. If anybody's been following us for a while, they know that we are huge believers in surge protectors. We have heard so many tales from RVers over the years about having their appliances, like the refrigerator, the microwave, even the TVs, fried because of bad campground power. Now, a surge protector safeguards your RV from shore power problems at the pedestal, and then it shuts down if the incoming campground power supply, what you plug into your RV, if the voltage is dangerously low or too high, or the plug is wired backwards or shorted out. In fact, last year we were camping at a campground up in Michigan, and we plugged in, and I put in the surge protector, and then I plugged in and it wouldn't go on. And then I looked and I got this message, reversed polarity. That's not a good thing to have. If that had gone right into my RV, who knows what could have happened with the power. In our book, every RVer should have a surge protector. You can think of them like a insurance against bad power. And bad power at campgrounds is much more common than you might think. If you've been camping for a while, you know the sad truth of the matter is that a lot of RV parks are old and their infrastructure is deteriorating. Defective power pedestals cause voltage to be too high or too low, and when that happens, the appliances, whatever's plugged into a receptacle inside your RV, like a computer or a cell phone or charger, all that can be damaged. But even if the park is new and the pedestal is in excellent condition, we still recommend a surge protector. lightning strikes nearby, they can travel right through all the park wiring into the pedestal and then into your RV too. Power brownouts are another big problem. They limit the voltage that gets into the coach to the extent that appliances can be damaged that way. Now, there's all sorts of different surge protectors. You can Google it on the market. There's cheap ones and there's good ones, and the good ones are never cheap, right? That's a lesson in life. But the money they save you from being spared the effects of one bad power incident makes them a really necessary expense, I think. If you're looking for one, we like the Southwire brand surge protectors. I'll put links to this in the show notes under the question of the week, rvlifestyle.com/306. A couple things. If you're buying a surge protector, you know, what sort of power do you have in your system? If it's a Class C or a B, you probably have a 30 amp system. And so you want to get a surge protector for 30 amps. If you have a 50 amp system, then you want to get one rated for 50 amps. We bought the Southwire 30 amp one for one of our previous RVs. But our new one, our new Leisure Travel Vans Wonder RV, has a surge protector built in. So we don't need to use that. We'll keep it in case we get another RV that we do, because it's a good one. And by the way, several of you have asked, where is the surge protector on our Wonder? I didn't show it because I said it was inside, and it is inside, but people want to know these questions. They saw it. They said, well, where is it? We want to see it. And so, okay, so if I was going to show it to you, I'd have to go inside the coach and then pull out the seat cushion on the driver's side seat in the front lounge area of our RV. And when I remove that cushion, it kind of sits on a bunch of webbing the cushion does, but between underneath that webbing is a small little, there's a little container there, and there's a little cutout with an LCD display, and that's where you'll see if there's any error codes, and you'd know that because you wouldn't be getting power. You'd be plugged in and wouldn't be getting power, so you'd go and you'd look there. For example, if I had a cord that said E4, that would denote that the power voltage was too low coming out of the pedestal. The surge protector will cut power for a lot of reasons. Too low, too high, reverse polarity, open ground. All these are problems that you'll find at campgrounds. Now, most of the time, there's no need to see the surge protector because it just does its job, making sure you have clean power. But it's nice to know that it's there. And if your RV does not come with one built in, invest the money. Protect those appliances. Just get a surge protector.
Can people steal that surge protector?
Not the one that's built in, okay. But the one that you plug in at the pedestal. That's a good question because, yeah, they could. Mm-hmm. Most of the good ones come with a tamper-proof cable, and then you just get a padlock. So when you plug it in at the pedestal and then plug your power cord into the surge protector, you also then use that cable and lock it in. So people can't just unplug it and take off.
Yeah, you know, you're sorry to have to lock everything up.
You do, but you got to do it these mm-hmm. days. And those things, you know, a good one costs $300.
Yeah,
you
that's know? A lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. But I wouldn't be without one. And we had that. I mean, it was funny because I think we were actually shooting a video about surge protectors last year.
I think it was the first
time
you'd ever used one.
No, I had used it before. Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, sometimes, you know, I'm lazy. That's another thing I like about having it built in now. Sometimes I'm lazy. Like this last camp out, I didn't plug it in because I didn't need one, but I was going to show it the old, you know, the separate one we don't use that we have. But last year I didn't, sometimes I'd get lazy. And that one I said, because we were doing a video, and I said, I'm going to plug it in, make sure everybody sees that. And oh my goodness, the pedestal was at reverse polarity on it. The plugs were backwards. Mm-hmm. And that happens. That happens sometimes. All right. Hope that answered your question, William. But get a surge protector if you don't have one. This part of the RV podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. You can get in touch with Battle Born, and they'll help you. They're experts. Whatever kind of an RV you have, Class A, Class C, a B van, a travel trailer, or a fifth wheel, whatever it is, Battle Born can help you by offering batteries that will probably just drop into whatever size your batteries are currently taking. All Battle Born lithium batteries have a 10-year guarantee. They last longer. They're more efficient. They're maintenance free. They charge faster. They charge fuller. You really, lithium really is the standard for power these days for RVers. And Battleborn's where you go. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Well, the national news media has been filled with stories in recent weeks claiming that campgrounds are bursting at the seams across the country as people are taking up camping. They're saying that RVing is so popular, people just aren't taking regular vacations. They all want an RV vacation. Listen to these headlines that I read today. Here's one. Seeking COVID-19 escape, Oregon's outdoors crowded at unprecedented level brings problems. Here's one. Having a hard time finding a campsite in Colorado this summer? You're not alone. And this one. Trouble on the trails. Forest Service grapples with crowds, trash, and human waste. And this one. People everywhere. Physical distancing takes a holiday at camping and recreation spots. That's enough to scare out even the most intrepid camper.
You know what I get really sick of is always negative news. I would like to have them do a story about positive. Go there and see how people are, interview people, see how they're making new friends, how they're having a great time. And I'd like positive. I get so sick of always negative.
It's like there is a plot out there by everyone in the news media. And I'm not talking just those liberals or just those conservatives. I'm talking all of them to make us feel as miserable as possible.
People do not want to hear negative.
Don't they know that we're a little down with this COVID?
People want to hear happy and nice. I think that's why YouTube has taken off so. Because you try to watch TV and it's really hard to find something that doesn't offend you one way or another.
Well, this whole thing, and reading those campgrounds, are they true? Well, sort of, yes, partially. But as always, those headlines are far from typical of what's going on. When I was in the news business, this is what I used to say. People say, well, why is your news always so bad? And I'd say, well, because news, by nature, by definition, is something unusual. It's something that's unusual. And the bad is unusual. Well, you know, that was the argument many years ago.
But now
it's just being as negative as you can. So you technically, yeah, those things have happened. But as always, they are not nearly accurate at all. And we're going to try and give you the real story about overcrowded campgrounds this week from real RVers. And to get an accurate picture of what it's really like out there, we've tapped into a lot of our fellow travelers from their RV lifestyle community and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And we asked them to share their experiences, and we got a compilation of what they have seen and their expertise. And you'll also hear from a couple of industry experts. I think that after listening to all this, you're going to agree with us and saying, don't believe those who say you can't find a campsite this summer, because you can. In fact, we seldom get reservations, and we just got one 2 weeks ago. By what day did we go?
We went on a Sunday.
And why did we pick that?
Because you can usually get in on a Sunday.
Because everybody's going back to work on Monday. Yeah. So we went about noon when everybody leaves, and we had our pickup. They had so many sites. In fact, they said, go look around, find one you want, and then come back and register it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is a pretty popular campground that we went to, and that's the way it is. Well, first off, I want you to hear this from our friend Mark Kapp. Mark is one of those industry experts that I like to tap his expertise as often as I can. He runs an awesome website called campgroundviews.com. That has photos and video tours of campgrounds. He lets you see the actual campsite that you're interested in without having to go there first. And he works with campground owners across North America and truly is an expert when it comes to finding out the truth about camping in both public and private parks. Mark Kapp.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer, great to be here. I want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing on the private and public sides in regard to overcrowding. The public parks are absolutely booked up. All the national park campgrounds that are open are filled up. Now, there was that caveat that are open. There's still national parks where they're requiring advanced reservations and only reservations made before a certain period of time. Those campgrounds are actually still relatively empty, but you can't get a spot there anyway, so in essence, they're full. We've heard anecdotally that a lot of the National Park and National Forest Service campgrounds are filled up on the weekends and a lot of time during the week. Gros Ventre, north of Jackson, in July, was filled every single day by 8 a.m., including its overflow area. The other area that we're seeing a lot of extra traffic in is into the boondocking and dispersed camping. If you've been in a forest recently, you've seen RVs parked everywhere within the forest in the dispersed areas. It's great to see people out enjoying the forest, but on the flip side, you're seeing a lot of resource damage, and I imagine that's going to be a long-term issue where we're going to see the Forest Service start cracking down and pushing back on that. On the private park side, private parks do have spots available. They are not completely full. Are they busy? Yes. Are they busier than normal? Yes. Are they full on weekends and peak holidays? Yes. So that is a big thing. So you're going to have to go a little bit, you're going to have to get creative in finding parks. Basically, you'll start having to find spaces in the parks that are less well run. So they don't have online reservations. They don't answer their phones. You're going to have to wing it a little bit more, at least right now. And then the other big thing I would consider if I'm in your shoes, in your camper shoes, is that this isn't going to go away when school starts, because guess what? School's not starting. Everybody's working from home and school's virtual. So unfortunately, or fortunately, this problem's not going away anytime soon. So I wish you all safe travels, happy driving, and I'll talk to you later. This is Mark Hepp at campgroundviews.com.
All right. I like that. Mark's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Mark is a really good guy, and that's good advice. It's summertime, and there are a lot of campers. Now, I want to go to another friend of ours who has a little different take on it, and his name is Jim O'Brien, and he runs a site called Overnight RV Camping, and I really like Jim. Jim is one of the first guys I connected with when we started blogging and doing all this over 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago now. Jim started that website, Overnight Camping, OvernightRVCamping.com. He started that years ago, and he has worked tirelessly to build, I think, the best online source for finding places where you can stay for free or very inexpensively. When you do encounter a full campground, you can almost always find a place to overnight by visiting his site. And I asked him to talk to us a little bit about what it's like out there and how overnight RV parking works.
Even though the COVID-19 virus is on everybody's minds this year, people still want to take a vacation, and they don't want to travel in an airplane or a train or a cruise ship, and they don't really want to sleep in hotels. Traveling in an RV is the answer for a lot of people, whether it's a motorhome or a travel trailer or a fifth wheel or a pickup camper. And that's why RV sales and rentals are way up this summer. It's also why RV park bookings are way up, too. This year, it's often hard to find a space in a campground or an RV park unless you've already made a reservation, maybe weeks in advance or months in advance. But there are other options, especially for a one-night stopover on the way to your destination. There are thousands of places where you can park overnight in an RV for one night only, and most of these places are free. There's one source that lists more of these places and more information on them than any other place, all in one place and all searchable, and that's the OvernightRVParking.com website. We've spent the last 15 years building our database of more than 14,500 listings showing where you can legally park overnight, usually for just one night and usually for free. Now, we're not talking about camping. There aren't any hookups, and you won't be using your lawn chairs or your barbecue grill or extending the awning. You'll just be stopping for the night to park and sleep, and then be on your way the next morning. Many of these places are business parking lots, so you'll need to telephone ahead or else go inside to the customer service desk or speak with a manager to get their permission to park overnight. It can help if you're very clear that it's just for one night and that you'll be leaving in the morning. They may specify where in the parking lot they want you to park, although that information is already in most of the OvernightRVParking.com listings. Make sure you make a purchase there. If it's a restaurant, have your evening meal or breakfast or both. If it's a retail store, pick up some additional groceries or other supplies. If the business has a gas station, make sure you buy some fuel. These businesses are graciously allowing us to be overnight guests on their property, so please don't abuse that privilege. If there's a grassy area for walking your pet, be sure to pick up what they leave behind. Don't leave any trash in the parking area, and never, ever empty your gray or black water tanks there unless there's a designated RV dump station. It's also important to know the places that don't allow overnight RV parking, so you don't have security or police knocking on your door at 2 in the morning telling you to leave, and so you don't wake up to find an expensive parking ticket under your windshield wiper. The overnightrvparking.com website shows you which places that you might expect to allow overnight RV parking, but they don't. The website isn't free to use because of the time and cost involved in compiling all this information and keeping it up to date, but you can subscribe for a full year for just $30, which is less than the cost of one night in most RV parks. To join, go to overnightrvparking.com. There's a demo button at the top where you can see some sample listings and an About button where you can find a lot more about how the website works. Then click the Subscribe button, and when you get to the question about who referred you, be sure to tell us it was Mike Wendland or the RV Lifestyle blog or YouTube channel. If you remember to do this, we'll give you 15 months for the price of 12, 3 free months on your new subscription. But anyway, whatever you do in your travels this year, please practice good virus safety, such as social distancing. And remember to wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jim. Jim O'Brien, and as I said, Jim goes way back, built this site with this awesome database, $30 a year. And if you use our name when you sign up, he'll toss in a couple of 3 extra months free for you. That's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there are lots of places to stay like that. And you don't have to spend big bucks. I think the average campground is closer to like $50 a month.
Yeah,
a night
seems
now.
Like 45, 50 bucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. So what is it like out there? We've heard from a couple of industry guys, and I heard from a lot of you. I ask our Instagram and Facebook and YouTube followers to share what they have found this summer. We've been hearing from a lot of you over the last few weeks in the podcast, and I wanted to hear some more today. So here's your take on how crowded it is out there in RV land.
Hey, we just got back from an awesome RV trip up in Provincetown, Massachusetts, Coastal Acres Campground. It was very nice and quiet. Only RVs, no tents because of the COVID. Everybody in town's wearing masks. It's a requirement in certain parts of the town. Even on the deserted parts, you'd see people and they'd pull up their mask, and it was actually quite a heartwarming sign of respect, it seemed. You see somebody, you pull up your mask. That was good. All the bars were closed, so there was no drunks. So it was a very quiet, kind of surreal type of Provincetown. And the National Seashore has awesome beaches, awesome sunsets, and you can see the Milky Way dark sky area. And it was unbelievable. All right, have fun. Happy trail.
Hi, Mike. My name is Carol Scott. I live right outside the Atlanta area, and you cannot find a campsite around outside the Atlanta area on the weekend, on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, sometimes even Thursday. Everything is booked and full, and it's booked a lot of times all the way through the time the campgrounds close. And a lot of the Corps of Engineers campgrounds close here right after Labor Day. So some of them are already booked up through that time. So it's ridiculous. I'm a longtime camper, and my trailer's been sitting in my driveway quite a bit this year because I still work, and weekends is when I camp, and I can't find a campground even if I try to book way in advance. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, Mike and Jen. This is John from Rhode Island, and we have been able to get out camping twice so far, once in May up in New Hampshire. A lot of strict restrictions. Campground was only allowed to be half full. But in July, we went to Massachusetts and Weston, Massachusetts, and that campground was full. And while we, most of us transit types, were camping, we did keep our distance, but we did, were able to have conversations. And even with the seasonal campers, we were able to have conversations. Very comfortable atmosphere. Masks were worn. But just give you a heads up from New England. Our next trip out is in a couple of weeks to upstate New York. We'll see how that goes.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We appreciate all you do for us out there. This is Lori from Huntsville, Alabama, responding to your question on campgrounds and availability. We are not full-time, mostly taking long weekends, Saturday through Monday. Our experience in the Southeast has been that campgrounds are full when we get there. We always have a reservation. Even in this hot, humid heat, we Southeasterners are determined to get out. Maybe during the weekdays, chances are better on getting a spot. We hope to find out as soon as possible. Thanks.
Hey, we just traveled from Texas to Oregon in about 5 weeks, starting June 1st. We were able to find places to stay the whole way. We didn't have to boondock a single time, although there were a few places that we stayed that didn't have full of facilities. They had most of the facilities, though, and everywhere we stayed, including Army Corps of Engineer camps, city parks, state parks, and a few independent parks. That some of them were really small but kind of cute, and others were a little bigger. So that's been our experience so far this summer. Thanks.
Well, thanks to you guys. And I love hearing from all of our fellow travelers out there when they call in our voicemail number like that.
I really enjoy that, too, because this is the real deal.
These are real
RVers. Telling us really what's going on. And when I think of Atlanta, I love the northern part north of Atlanta,
northern Georgia.
Yeah. It's so beautiful
there.
But Atlanta is such a populated area. Two of our grandkids are attending college in that area.
We like Red Top Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Up by Marietta, north of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We've stayed there a number of times.
So yeah. Good.
And we love those mountains in North Carolina. But it's so good to hear.
But there's a lot of people, a lot of folks.
Yep, it is so good to hear you guys. So anytime, you just know that you are invited. We want your voice on the podcast. We really do.
Fellow travelers, want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
You can also go to rvlifestyle.com. And you can scroll around, and we've got that phone number posted on the blog as well. But I love to get your voices because you guys are the real deal out there. And we love to share what we're finding and hear what you're finding. So the Interview of the Week segment brought to you every week by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. SunshineStateRVs.com, they're located in Gainesville, Florida. And they have probably the largest selection of used and new small motor homes that you'll find anywhere, really, in the country. These guys just really are knocking it out of the park in terms of the full line of brand new small motor homes that they sell. Like the most popular selling Class B these days in America, the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, the Coachman, American Patriot, Fleetwood. They've got that and more in new RVs in stock right now. And if you're looking for a used RV, their used inventory is probably the biggest in North America. Previously owned RVs from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between from all the most popular brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They road test them. They make sure they run and drive the way they should. They go over the interior and the outside. Every component turned on and tested. You can trust these guys. If you can't get there in person, just go to their website, SunshineStateRVs.com, SunshineStateRVs.com, and tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right. We got the Burkitts on the line, and this week, where do you think we're going?
I have no idea.
We're going to West Texas.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. We were driving through the little town of Early on US 84, just wandering through West Texas. On the corner where 84 crosses US 377, we saw a small hardware store with a sign that said Fresh Pecans. Regardless of what other states may claim, Texas is pecan country. Some say pecan. However you say it, it's the only tree nut native to North America. From prehistory, native peoples on this continent have harvested and eaten these delicious nuts. They've been cultivated for centuries from central Mexico to the river valleys of the eastern USA, and have even been used as trading currency. One of the most popular commercial varieties is even named the Burkitt pecan and has its own interesting story.
It seems two young men were out collecting nuts one day along Battlefish Creek and brought home a sack full of extraordinary nuts to their father, who was a pecan grower. He insisted they take him back to the tree, and from it he collected a few buds for grafting. The grafts took, and the following spring the original tree was washed away in a flood. From those original grafts came the strain that makes up more than 30% of the U.S. commercial pecan harvest. At any rate, we pulled off at the store and picked up a 10-pound sack. "Are they local?" I asked. "Well, I'll tell you," said the motherly-looking woman at the counter. "We keep an old hand-shelling machine in the back room. When the nuts come in, school kids go around and collect the leavings from the orchards and the river bottoms, and they come in here and shell them. We let them use the machine, and then we buy the shelled nuts from them so they have a little walking around money."
Pecans are big business in this part of the state, and many towns have big orchards and processing plants and gift stores. In the gift stores, you can find every conceivable variety of pecan goodie, and we've tried a great many of them. The free samples are plentiful and come with good conversation if you're willing to ask questions. Pecans are among the most valuable nuts in the world, and demand is stable and worldwide, so growing them is well worth the effort. We spent many a day wandering around in this part of Texas, as there's much to see here, and the best pecan discovery was in the town of Cedar Creek, east of Austin, in Bluebonnet country.
Cedar Creek is home to Birdall's Pecan Candy and Gift Company, one of those gift shops mentioned above wherein all things pecan are on offer. It's outside, though, that the real goodies are found. On the covered porch is a vending machine available 24 hours that dispenses whole pecan pies. As far as we know, it's the only such device in the country. Put in your cash or credit card and you can get an individual size serving or a whole 9-inch pie. And all of this happens under the watchful eye of Ms. Pearl, a 14-foot tall carved wooden squirrel, the largest in the world. Right now, she's even sporting a mask.
You can find pecan orchards from North Carolina to California, all across the southern USA and northern Mexico. But Texas is where they originated, and here's where you're likely to find the best nuts and the best stories. As a matter of fact, it's been our experience that sometimes the best nuts tell the best stories. So get off the interstate, skip Orange World and Pecan World and Peanut World, and instead, look for the front yard stand or the hand-lettered sign at the corner store. That's where the real deal is. Out here off the beaten path.
Well, my goodness, I didn't know that pecans originated in Texas.
That's the first I've heard that, too. We're learning something.
We just did. We did a video and had some fun down in Georgia, where, you know, Georgia is a huge pecan grower.
Peaches, pecans, and peanuts.
Pecans and peanuts, yep. And I remember I went into this little stand like the Burkitts just found in Texas. And I asked him, I said, "Okay, so I hear people say pecans. That's the way we would pronounce it. And some would say pecans." And they said, "Well, the people in the north call it pecans. We southerners call it pecans." So I guess either one is correct. But we know that either one, whether it's a pecan or a pecan or a pecan, they're good.
And I'm really intrigued by this vending machine. You can get a slice of pie or a whole pie. Because the best pie I ever had was that little place in Georgia that we found.
I think it's called Adcock's. It's in one of our videos that we did this past year.
Excellent pie.
Yeah. Well, you just can't go wrong with pecan pie.
Well, I'm not, you know, it's like It's a C with me. I've got others I like better, but that was good.
Oh, I tell you.
That was good.
Then there's Lisa Gruner's pecan pie. Lisa's our friend from Huntsville, Alabama. She's a little Southern Belle, and she makes the meanest pecan pie I've tasted. In fact, I need to have one of our...
Lisa needs to open up a little store.
She does.
A little storefront.
Every gathering we had, Lisa would bring some kind of down-home dish in her pecan pie.
Yeah, and she's a very friendly person. She'd love meeting everybody.
And that's where we met the Burkitts, at one of our gatherings like that. And now, of course, you hear the Burkitts as they travel across the country every week here on the RV Podcast. But we miss being in person with all these folks, and hopefully that will end, that we'll get out of this little funk we're in as a nation, and this virus will get behind us. All right, off the beaten path with the Burkitts. It is always a delight.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that is it for this week. We had a great time talking to you.
We sure did.
And wherever you are, well, be safe, have fun, and get out there. Get out there and enjoy this country, and always be really careful.
Happy trails.